back, batting around. It's batting around. It's a baseball podcast. I am your co-host, Jane. With me, as always, is Lauren
I'm Lauren.
and Steven.
Yo.
And we have a returning guest,
Hello.
an all-time great, yeah, a fan favorite. It's Melly. How's it going, Melly?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm sorry that I came on your podcast with a bit of a head cold, but I'm so excited to be here.
I always sound like I have a head cold, but it's because I'm from the upper Midwest.
True.
So yeah, it's par for the course.
We're all being treated by some sort of poultice right now. Yeah, that's fine.
It's allergy season.
Yeah. I have leeches hanging from my eyeballs as we
Not
speak.
joking. I am drinking nettle tea. Like, that's not a
Yeah.
joke for me.
Yeah.
No, you turned me on to the nettle tea. That stuff is good. It's so good. It's
Yeah.
anti-inflammatory.
That actually, before, sorry, we're going to get to that. We have you on today because we're going to solve the math through understanding their astrology chart. But first, just as a quick aside, this is just a one-off thing that someone told me about that I think you are going to have good insight on. Gavin Cross, Royals prospect this week, is back in spring training this year and hit better. It turns out the reason he was out for most of last year was that he had Rocky Mountain spotted fever, which is a tick spread disease that about 5,000 people a year That's
get.
an Oregon Trail ass disease. Yeah.
It really is. Obviously, he's like a Royals draft pick because Dayton Moore and his dad are like church friends.
Right.
So that's the kind of guy we're dealing with here. I thought you might have some insight into how one would treat diseases that normally only afflict people traveling the country in a covered wagon.
It's crazy that we already covered leeches because, like, I mean, that's kind of exactly what I do. It's a blood poisoning, obviously. Especially if it's tick spread. And so, like, the first thing that you want to do is get out all of your blood. And then, I mean, honestly, like, nettles would be a really good choice to treat that with, especially if you're doing like a non-medical intervention sort of thing, because it's very high in iron. So it's going to raise your
Okay.
hemoglobin re levels and bring back your blood, hopefully healthier blood this time.
Cool. And because it's the Royals, I guarantee you this is exactly what they're doing.
Yeah,
The
they strike
Dodgers
me
is.
as like a kind of Christian scientist team a little bit, right?
Oh no, absolutely. Yeah, that's the deal. Yeah, like the Dodgers would be giving him like blood infusions. He's just in there getting for like in next to a big glass jar of leeches. I guarantee you that's what their medical facilities are like. That's how they treat guys with like ACL
Yeah, they're
injuries.
gonna need to balance his humors. Yeah,
Well, ACL
how's your
injuries,
black bile levels? Yeah.
like physical injuries, that's what you have chiropractics for. So like
Yes,
you've got
exactly.
guys who are talking to ghosts about how to fix that Tommy John, you know?
Yeah.
It's the ectoplasm buildup.
That's probably a good lead into what we originally had you on to talk about today. We're always part of this podcast, part of any baseball podcast, and we're perpetually asking ourselves, what's the deal with Mets? And we've approached every angle. We've approached, like, is it the front office? Is it the GM? Is it the players? Is it the clubhouse presence? You have proposed an alternative framework for understanding the Mets that perhaps explains them more accurately than any other.
Yeah, I was actually really shocked. So I had mentioned earlier this year that like I've been out of baseball for a while, even though it's by far my favorite sport. Mostly because like anytime I see anything that has to do with the gambling, like my brain just shuts off and I'm like, this is unserious. I don't need to pay attention to it. And so like it's hard, and also the Tigers are my team, so it's like,
Yeah.
yeah, it's been not interesting. But I was like, well, what if I combine my two favorite things, baseball and astrology? And like baseball really does lend itself very well to astrology because it's about situations where like individual actors are sort of like moving together in vectors, just like all of the planets. And so like there's different dates and times and transits and like where the planets are and in what sign. And so astrology basically is like mapping out kind of personality, but also like deep psychology and fate all at the same time, which I feel like is a beautiful metaphor for baseball, because there's a lot of psychology and God knows so much fate involved.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like every single aspect of baseball is built on wondering, like, why the fuck did that happen? Yeah, how did he hit that pitch? That's an impossible place, like where he spotted that, but now it's
Right.
out of the fucking park. Yeah.
And so you were like, hey, what's up with the Mets, like astrologically? Like, that could be interesting. And honestly, like going into this, I to cast a chart for like an entity, you just find the date of incorporation. I don't know what time on March 6th, 1961, they signed the documents that said that the New York Metropolitans would be a team. So I don't like have like exact casting. I don't have houses for them. I don't know the Mets rising sign. What I did find, like in the basic chart, I was absolutely stunned at how, like, I thought I was gonna have to make something up. For a disclaimer, like I'm a very baby astrologer. I've taken like free courses. I've listened to like presentations from astrologers, and I've read a bunch of books. But I'm in no way certified to like do this.
I don't think any certified astrologers are going to listen to this to correct you. Just based on my understanding of our audience, I think you're in the clear.
Okay. I do just want to say though that there are like professionals out there, and I don't want to like step on anybody's toes, but
You get blackballed.
And also like I don't want to be blackballed by the astrology community, you know?
No, then the stars will be mad at you, and you don't want that.
No, exactly. But today is a great day of opportunity, which is why I'm so glad that we're recording.
Okay, great.
So I thought that I was gonna have to like make up something like, oh, you know, the moon is in like Scorpio, so they have like they sort of like straddle this life and the next, or like something stupid like that. But no, there's a very big, very harsh transit that is at the center of the Met's astrological chart that is absolutely crazy. So if anybody at home wants to go to
Okay.
astro.com and cast for March 6th, 1961, they'll see exactly what I'm talking about. And it's a so the Mets are they're a Pisces. Their moon is in Scorpio. So they've got like a nice little light trine there. But the most remarkable thing about them is that they have what's called the Great Conjunction. And that was something that was originally observed in 1623 by Galileo. And it's Jupiter crossing over the path of Saturn. The thing about these two planets is that they are like the great benefic, which is the like, great blessings bringer in Jupiter. And then Saturn is the great malefic, who's the great imposer of consequence. Saturn is all about like institution, reckoning, learning lessons, and Jupiter is about like abundance and growth and luck and the things that you're like meant to do and the things that elevate an individual as a person. And so usually when they conjoin, when two planets are sitting in the same spot, they balance each other out. And usually whoever is like the greater planet will have more of an effect. But they're also, so these two planets are in Capricorn, which is the sign of Jupiter's fall. So that's Saturn's like favorite sign is Capricorn, which
That's
is
because
like
it's the best sign, correct? That's my understanding.
it's the sign of Excel spreadsheets and institutions
And kitchen gadgets.
and gadgets and certainty that electronics will save us. But it's about like knowing and being able to like organize thoughts very effectively. And like there's like a certain certainty, but also like a reservedness to it. But when Saturn's in it, it's like Saturn is like judge, jury, and executioner, especially that like so usually this thing that helps Saturn be less aggressive, like Jupiter sitting on top of Saturn usually makes Saturn less aggressive, but because they're in Saturn's favorite sign, Jupiter is completely in its detriment. So it's almost like everything good that comes from the best planet in astrology is mostly nullified, if that makes sense. And so,
Excellent.
yeah, it sits at the apex of what's called a T square. So Saturn and Jupiter are both square to the Met's Venus and the Moon. And the Venus and Moon are in opposition to each other. And that usually means that you like don't like your mom or your girlfriend. It's like You're completely unaware of how your behaviors affect other people. You're only able to seek compromise and caring in the midst of conflict. And so you have all of these hangups. And then also, like with Venus and Aries, well, Venus square Jupiter lends itself to a certain sense of self-importance. And I thought this was interesting, an inability to spend money properly. And
Okay, we
they.
nailed it here. Yeah, this tracks.
There it is. Like, yeah, we found.
They fail to follow through on their promises, and they absolutely need to moderate.
Okay, I'm a lot of what I hear translates in me, like the especially the grand conjunction where like all everything could have been aligned to make this the most successful team in the history of the sport.
Yes.
If there wasn't just this one little thing that is instead destined to ruin them forever.
It's huge. Yeah,
Yeah, that's perfect.
yeah. And then okay, so Venus is also be obviously it's square to Jupiter, but also square to Saturn because they're in the same spot. And that usually means that they're unable to demonstrate affection and often disappoint the objects of one's love. So I'm sorry
What
to every
baseball
Mets
team is
fan.
that
I
like could
mean,
that not describe though?
Yeah.
I know that's true, but I feel like when you ask like what astrologically what's up with the Mets, it's because there's
Yeah.
that's happening in a way that's very weird.
Totally.
The other things that I thought were sort of important here. So yeah, like basically like the moon is it governs your emotions, it's in Scorpio, so they're like moody and like damp.
Moody and damp.
I mean
That's
like
yeah,
it's
I love that. That's a great way to describe anything, really. I love that.
But also it's at the beginning of the Scorpio cycle. And so like, should they make it to the end of October baseball, there's a pretty good chance of the sun conjoining with their moon placement and also their Neptune placement because they're really close to each other. And Neptune's the sign of passion. And so the sun sort of lights it up. So they can win a World Series. Like that's there.
In fact, I
They
just looked this
have.
up. The last time that the Grand Conjunction aligned, 1986.
Oh
Oh
my
my
God.
God.
I just made that up. Sorry.
Oh,
I just
no.
made that up.
Oh, damn
I'm
it.
editing that
Damn
out.
it,
I'm
Lauren.
That
Edit
didn't
that
sound right to me. What did happen? There was something that did happen because I did look it up and I couldn't really find anything. Their Mercury and Mars placements were swapped. And actually, so they have a Mars in Cancer, which if you're ever doing astrology for dating and you see a Mars in Cancer, just like a bit of a red flag. Because that just means that they're deeply passive aggressive and manipulative and avoid
Yeah,
confrontation.
that's exactly the relationship to the media right there. Yeah.
The other thing, so Pluto in Virgo means that they have Munchausen syndrome, but also their north node is in Virgo and it's the north node of fate. And so they're constantly, throughout your life, you're chasing the north node wherever it is. And a north node in Virgo means that you need to create a better plan so that you can avoid health issues, specifically relating to
Yeah.
your health and your home. You need to be better at planning for that.
Yeah, too late for Jacob deGrom, I'm afraid. Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah,
sorry about the Mets.
how many Mets rotations just been absolutely decimated by
Right?
or all the weird
By
shit
that.
that they did to Carlos Beltran could be considered the same as Munchausen syndrome. Yeah. Yeah, I guess so.
And okay, so like also Pluto's opposite their sun, which means that that's going to be their downfall most of the time, is their like obsession with health and constantly fluctuating health.
Get undone by the smallest and shittiest planet. That makes sense.
Listen, it's really powerful. So I had like a couple of other things. I wanted to talk about how like astrology is sometimes good on the player level. And so I looked up Otani's chart.
Okay,
Okay.
It's sort of like this is a lot of the Mets have a lot of like punishment and like reckoning and like never learning lessons in their chart.
Reckoning.
And Otani is like I like started like almost crying a little bit about like how perfect his chart is. So he's a
Yeah, of course.
Cancer.
Hell yeah.
He's a Cancer, but he has a grand trine with, so this is it's also good to draw a contrast to how Jupiter and Saturn work when like they're sort of in the opposite position of where they are in the Mets chart. So for Ohtani's chart, he's actually currently going through a Saturn return because he has a Saturn in Pisces. And Saturn hates being in Pisces because it's like moody and Saturn doesn't like having or displaying emotions or anything. But when you go through your Saturn return, so like you're 27, 28, like the 27 club, that's usually considered a sign of like Saturn's reckoning, that you've like reaped all of the bad, the transgressions against what Saturn wants. So like following the rules, being a good person. Saturn shows back up exactly where it was when you were born, and it ruins your life. But if you've done what Saturn
That
wants,
would explain
if
his
you
last year with the Angels. Yeah.
well, but if you've done what Saturn wants and you've listened to like the elders in your life and you work really hard within the parameters of rules that are set out for you, when you come back to the Saturn return, Saturn can be like really nice to you and be like, thanks for listening to
Yeah,
me.
it lets you play with Mookie Betts.
Yeah, exactly. So he's experiencing the benefits of it. And then he's also, it's in a trine, which is like a really nice, they're talking to each other, they're friendly. It's a grand trine in water. So like the happiness between his sun and his Saturn and his Jupiter are all sort of flowing together. And yeah, like sun Cancer, he's just a nice reserved guy. Mars and his Mars and Moon are in conjunction with each other right at the cusp of Taurus and Gemini, which means like mostly that he likes doing physical work, and he's really good at two things. That's Gemini and Mars.
Okay. All
Yeah.
right.
So
I like
hot
it. I like that
mess.
he astrologically he gr grinded through Anaheim Jay gets to reap Southern California Nirvana. Yeah.
He did. He did it. And it's beautiful. We love it.
If we want to do a little bit of like forecasting for the season,
Okay.
I've looked up the four our three teams, so to speak, Orioles, Philadelphia, Twins. And can we just off the cuff get a read of how you think the season's gonna go based on this?
Sure.
Okay, but first off, my methodology is a little bit different. I consider the birth of the game played at their current stadium, because I think that's kind of like an iteration of a team and of a franchise.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know, it
That's
seems
totally
like the
different.
Target Field era is very different than the Metrodome era, you know, which is very different
Absolutely. Yeah.
from the Met era.
It does mean basically every team is an Aries sun sign. That's like the one kind of downside, but I don't think that's necessarily wrong. Anyway, if we could start with maybe the Phillies. I have Sun Aries, Moon Virgo, Mercury Taurus.
So, like, what dates are going to be important to them this year?
Or like just generally say, like what vibe do you give them for the season based on that read? How they're going to perform, what their instead of their personality as a team.
The Mercury in Taurus is good because that means that nobody's really going to get mad at you.
That's unlikely.
It's not, I mean, you might like trip over your words, but also like a lot of benefits are going to be from getting yourself out of I guess so. Mercury is in charge of communication and being in Taurus. I always think of Taurus like really nicely, but I guess that it's also like where stubbornness happens, recalcitrance, resistance to being honest unless it's in their benefit. I think that they might have a little bit of a push and pull with the media this year and also how they're being perceived and how they're like communicating, but it's not necessarily like bad, right? Basically, what you did like in terms of casting like how the season's gonna go. So opening day and opening weekend directly precedes, it's in the middle of eclipse season. It's already started basically, but the next full moon is going to be a lunar eclipse. And then we're gonna have the solar eclipse on the 8th. And this eclipse season, it's very powerful, it's very emotional, and it has a lot to do with severance, separation, and letting go. And so for that reason, I think that
They're moving on from Alec Boehm.
every team's going to have something. They're going to need to let go of expectations for the entire season. Like, I think that the MLB is going to
Okay.
have a difficult time, and the
I
theme
like
of the
that.
season is going to be like, oh no, we have to leave some things behind in order to progress forward. Because also the
Rhys Hoskins,
con
like evolving from like the big beefy boy. Yeah. Like archetype that they played with the last couple of years. Maybe they're gonna win some games on defense. They're gonna win some games with on relief pitching.
That'd be
Nothing
fucking
we haven't seen
nice.
from them ever. Yeah.
You could definitely and then also like beginning during Aries season, like having every team be in Aries. Like Aries, I think of as sort of, it's a vector where like it doesn't really know why it's moving in direction, but it definitely is, and it will stop at nothing to keep going towards the thing that it's going to go towards and never quite meet.
Sure.
That,
Yeah.
yeah,
162
that's
game
kind of
grind.
every,
Absolutely.
yeah.
This is
Okay.
fascinating.
Okay,
I think that's a good answer for the Phillies. This I'm thinking like, twins real quick. Sun Aries, also Moon Aries, Mercury Taurus.
Okay, so in the same vein as like a
The only
sun.
one difference there is the moon. Yeah.
Yeah, so the moon in Aries, the moon's like your emotional, like your creative side, your more spiritual side. And obviously, like Aries is a very fiery, it's a goat that's just like mad. And so like it's not going to be in touch with it. They're not going to be like very mute, like emotionally centered this year, I don't think. That's going to be off to the side. They have a mission to complete, and they are on a quest for spiritual catharsis that they may never find.
Oh no.
Yeah, that's interesting because like I think like last year was like they like made the playoffs for the first time, or they won a playoff series for the first time in forever. This season, I don't know, it would be a huge failure if they don't do that at least again, because they cut payroll too. So like
Yeah.
But
They're gonna be
like
like, let's keep this momentum going. Like, let's just, and then there's nothing.
Or you know,
Like,
it could just be like, will Byron Buxton finally have like a healthy good season? Because like he seems like he's doing good for the first time in forever.
that's a wonder. They could be
Getting him to
next.
play like 130 games or something would be incredible.
Yeah, that could be one of the best seasons of all time. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's
Okay.
off to a very hot spring training start. 179
Yeah.
WRC plus in spring training right now. Yeah.
Yeah. There was a great video of him of the other day when Royce Lewis like hit one into the corner, and Edward Julian is on second base and Byron Buxton's on first base, and it's like obviously gonna bring home the runners because Byron Buxton's so fast, but like at one point he's like almost caught up to Edward Julian, like almost like halfway to home, like it looks like he had like like Edward Julian was like, oh God, I gotta like pick it up, this guy's right behind me. So he's looking very good. It's very funny.
Awesome.
Speeds
Okay,
back. He's
so
making
la
good catches. Like,
uh, uh, okay, la last one. Baltimore Orioles, Sun Aries, Moon Taurus, Mercury Pisces. Anything interesting there?
no.
So they're just gonna have another like pretty good season with the rebuild. Nothing exceptional. Nothing.
Yeah, that sounds like
Okay.
really middle of the pack, just like normal guy kind of stuff, you know?
Sometimes that is a huge asset in baseball, just
Yeah.
a team that is normal. That's the new
Yeah.
market in inefficiency.
Well, like Mercury Aries is like you get a lot of sympathy, I
Oh, sorry,
think.
Pisces.
Or
I
sorry,
meant to say
yeah, no, you said
Pisces.
that, and that's what I meant. Like Mercury and Pisces,
Okay.
like Pisces is it's the last sign in the zodiac. Like it's two fish going in opposite directions. It's got to do with like death and like dreams and like the deep subconscious of oneself, and like that's not usually where Mercury likes to be. Mercury likes to be like really chatty and specific and knowledgeable, but there's like a certain like sweetness or kind of like a you know, at least the way that the team is going to communicate, there's like a sadness, an etherealness,
So
a sort of je
the
ne sais quoi.
new ownership group is not going to buy at the is not going to like sit plunk down a seven figure contract
Yeah, I mean, look out for somebody
for
crying during a
anyone.
press conference,
That's a
maybe.
bummer. I hope it's Peter Angelos. That'd be great.
Oh
Yeah.
God, that'd be good. Oh, that was enlightening. Thank
Yeah.
you.
I'm so happy to help.
The only thing I know about the zodiac is that my sign is the crybaby sign. I don't know anything about any other sign.
Wait, there's like a lot of like Cancer. Are you
Yeah.
okay? I don't necessarily. So Otani's also a Cancer, right? Like, I don't know that that's
Hell
like
yeah.
really. That's not a crybaby so much as it's like you keep to yourself. You know, if you get too emotional, you like to go home. You keep like the people that you love like very close to you. And you just want to help. Like, really, that's kind of one of those things where it's like you want to make things better as best as you can in almost like a maternal way where there's like an anxiety about it. But you know, it's not crybaby stuff.
Sure,
You just
I see
wish that you
that.
could help the Phillies. You can't.
I do, I really do, and I know that I cannot. As much energy as I give them, it will not matter. despite
I don't know.
The various
But Ohtani
dramatic
wished he could help
things
the
that
Angels.
I have done superstitiously to help the Phillies.
It helps, I promise.
Okay, that all tracks. Ohtani being a cancer is interesting. What part of his astrological chart made him say that his wife is a normal woman?
that's also no. That's totally that's his sun cancer. Like absolutely, his Venus is in his Virgo, so he learns a lot. Or his Venus is in Virgo, and it's at the he's got like a little bit of a harsh aspect there. Like he also kind of has like a T square between his moon and what is that? That's Pluto. They're like opposed to each other, and then that's like sort of sorted out. I'm sorry, his Venus is not in Virgo. His Venus is in Leo, which he has a lot of like affection and beautiful things that come to him through basically being a superstar. But through love, he's able to reconcile his frustration with change, and he can be a little bit like emotionally hard on himself. So I think that, you know, as a Cancer, he wants to sort of keep his emotional and romantic cards to his chest. So he's going to be, you know, like not too public about it. I think that calling your wife normal is one of the most, that's not saying anything, right? Like that's being private, like as best as you can. So
I think in context, people took it to mean that his wife was not a celebrity.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, everybody is just kind of a brat.
the wife reveal was very funny because it just seemingly came out of nowhere. And then all of a sudden it was everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be a Venus and Leo thing for sure.
For context, yeah, it was on the flight to Seoul. It was the first time anybody got a picture of the two of them together.
Yeah, he did his best to hide it, but he really couldn't keep anybody from it, could he?
She's a former basketball player, which...
Tomiko Tanaka.
Yeah. Great. Someone who, like, understands his whole thing.
Athletes tend to work out with other athletes, it seems, in relationships. At least based on all of the lesbians in WNBA marrying each other.
Yeah.
That's my main frame of reference for
like
that.
With hockey and
soccer. Yeah, again, understand. Yeah.
Good for them. Happy for them. I haven't... Melly, I have been very not online the past couple weeks, although that is starting to change now that baseball's starting to ramp up. I'm like, I find myself going online more, which I'm not looking forward to. But have people been like weird or normal about this or what happened to Twitter when this happened?
I think people are mostly normal about it. Yeah.
That's good.
I felt like exceedingly normal about it.
Hell
honestly.
Yeah.
I was kind of surprised.
That's good.
Yeah. All the focus right now is on from the right anyway, is all laid focus on Sydney Sweeney. So this kind of flew under the radar for them, I guess.
Why are they focusing on Sydney Sweeney?
You don't want to know. You don't want to know.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Okay. It's really stupid, and we're on like round three of it. So yeah.
Okay, we'll have fun with that.
Yeah, Stephen, I'm also logged off, and I'm really shocked that this is still happening because it was going on before I logged off last week.
The exact same thing.
Yeah,
it just keeps happening. Yeah.
No, but the other thing that they're mad about is that MLB The Show is woke now.
Oh yes, you mentioned this.
Because you can play as a woman.
They gave
MLB
the show pronouns, literally.
Yeah. It's not pronouns finally. Yeah, I loved the guy that was like, God, can't men have one thing? That was
Jesus.
Really awesome.
Jesus.
Yeah. I did actually I pre-ordered it, and it doesn't technically start until, but it's like a 3-day pre-order playing yesterday, doing like the woman path to the road to the show mode where he plays a 21-year-old who graduated college and goes on to play in MLB. It's weird. It's just as wonky as MLB The Show always is.
Good.
They've just added like an empowering little storyline with your best friend who's also playing in baseball. And you just text each other like girl power stuff every couple games. It's
awesome.
Shit,
it's
I got
worse. It's very like,
I gotta check this out. Texting my girlfriend.
Do they still like have like locker room conversations with like the other players where they're just like, hey, nice fastball?
Apparently they took that out of MLB The Show entirely. They've kind of gotten rid of the friends thing. Yeah, they do explicitly state like, we're giving you your own, like a private, they do have to have that little cutscene with like the fake digital manager being
Okay.
like, "Oh, we got y'all set up here in your little private quarters." Like,
We're not doing
okay,
Starship
great.
Troopers
Glad we.
here. Like, yeah.
Yeah, it has been funny also looking at the MLB The Show subreddit about this, because it's first off, very few people there play Road to the Show at all. Most of them are like the Diamond Dynasty
Right.
hardcore gambling
The
addicts.
competitive ones, yeah.
But it apparently, if you play like the guy in Road to the Show, sometimes get misgendered a little bit by the announcer now. Like a she or her is like will slip in
Funny.
every now and then if you're playing a guy. And they're in their feelings
Did
about
Matt
it.
Vasgersian like just call me a sissy?
Help, I'm being force-femmed by MLB The Show.
Yeah.
But yeah, as a fan of those games, it is nice to play it and not hear the he him pronouns the whole time.
Yeah.
From my perspective, I the game itself is still weird and wonky and not like optimized in weird ways for gambling addicts. But there's
Yeah.
as far as baseball video games go, it's up there. One of the better ones, I
Road to the
think.
Show is like the healthiest power fantasy available in video games.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like it's either, you know, be a two-way player who hits 90 home runs and has a 1.5 ERA across 210 innings, or like, you know, shoot a whole bunch of people with machine guns and drop bombs on them and stuff. So like
Everything else is like, yeah, I'm gonna do genocide on a species of bug. Yeah.
yeah.
But yeah, tentative recommend on a movie the show's going. And there's also like a lot of emphasis in this one on the Negro Leagues. The last couple of years they've kind of rolled out like storylines based
That's
on
cool.
those. And I played a little bit. Those are better done this year. Those are better than I remember. Those are actually pretty fun, well done.
Nice.
So yes, it is both woke and has pronouns.
I have never played any of these games. I should.
Everybody should have, you know, a little stint where they just like compulsively play Road to the Show and like bring a character through an entire career, but you're just kind of like zoning out and losing time, like being like, yeah, I just got 90 saves in a row without blowing one, you know?
Yeah.
like I just sat here
It
and
is fun.
pitched all day. Like
I do think if you've never like played baseball before, like outside like Little League, it is helpful. It does like help you kind of map out, you know, pitches break and things like that are kind of those more
That's
nuanced
true.
things that fans can miss out on. I it actually it helped me a couple years ago kind of process, you know, better understand like what the difference in movement between a two-seamer and a four-seamer is, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I did briefly. I have a super mega baseball phase, but this is a
Yeah.
much different animal. But
Yeah.
it did obviously help me, like, oh, right, like watching and quote unquote playing are very different, because you have to think about a lot of different things happening that when you're watching, you're just like,
Right.
yeah, whatever. The outfielders are positioned this way.
Yeah, I
Yeah.
guess how are we all feeling about baseball being back this week? We've got actual games of baseball happening that we can watch
I'm
literally this
so
week.
When
I
is the
need it
Soul
so
game
bad, yeah.
again?
Soul game, I have this written out here. The Soul series is a 4-game series, exhibitions, 2 broadcasts. Exhibition games are March 17 and 18. The broadcast games start at 6 a.m. Eastern, March 20 and March 21. And I am looking forward to some goddamn 6 a.m. baseball
Yeah, it's
at
gonna
the Gottschalk Skydome. Yeah, which we last saw in the 2020 season, where it was the main after the first round, all of the 2020 playoffs were played there. And we all watched a fair bit of the 2020
Yeah.
KBO series
Yeah,
season.
we
That's when we're
did.
all like
Yeah,
maximally insane.
I would
Yeah.
this is going to give me a lot of really weirdly fond flashbacks to like the height of the pandemic, because
Yeah.
like there was a good couple, like maybe even like a month or so, where I was waking up at 6 to watch Korean baseball.
We all were. It was great. Go Dinos. I still check on my NC Dinos every now and then. There.
This is a
I
Dinos
forgot we were all.
podcast.
Yeah, this is a Dinos podcast. Hell
Yeah.
yeah. Yeah,
But yeah,
they
the
won
series
the
I'm looking forward to a
fucking
lot. Yeah, they won it all
Yeah, they won it all like
that season.
after I stopped paying attention to them again.
But
So
yeah, I'm looking forward to this whole series a lot. It's broadcast on ESPN. Yeah, game Tyler Glasnow versus Yu Darvish. Game 2 is what I'm really looking forward to, though, which is the first time we'll see Yamamoto throws a dodger.
Yes.
So
Nice.
I'm pretty pumped. I think that's going to be great. He also had a really cute quote about playing in the series. He said, "I'm having kind of a cloud nine feeling about starting." Yeah, I thought
That's
that was sweet.
cute.
Yeah.
Should be really fun. And I tried to look in like the park profile and stuff, but it's just like the most average possible park. Like, I tried to like, do they have like a power alley? Is there going to be some benefit to Freddie Freeman? No, it's just like 325 on the corners, 400 straightaway center, perfectly smooth outfield line. No advantage I could figure out other than it's got like a really high fence. Should be good games though. I'm looking forward to it. And then baseball's back officially. Like it's happening.
Let's go.
We're out of the off season.
Oh yeah, need it back. Definitely need it back. I need to like be able to just put that on a second monitor while I work and stuff.
Yeah,
be fantastic.
Yeah, I need my brain chemistry altered back to the way it was.
I need to fall asleep on the couch watching a game in the middle of like a Saturday afternoon. So bad.
Oh yeah, that's a
that's the fucking ticket.
Yeah, I need that. Need that back.
And I'm bullish on. I'm bullish on the Tigers again this year. I kind of think, you know, full season Spencer Torkelson turning it on. There's some interesting possibilities there. It helps that they play in the division they play in.
I can see them get second place for sure.
Yeah, I believe we called that in our predictions episode that the Tigers would be second.
I think so.
Yeah, yeah. They're going to have their like Orioles season. Yeah.
I wouldn't go that far, but
you don't see them making the playoffs.
No, no, and I even there's a very good possibility that the only reason the Twins will be in the playoffs is because somebody has to win the Central. Like yeah. They wouldn't make it as a wild card team like last year.
Yeah.
So I think there's still a very good chance of that happening again. So no, I don't think it's going to be like, you know, oh, Twins have the first place seed and the Tigers are in the wild card.
Oh, no,
no,
definitely.
I don't see it.
No.
Don't
no,
see
I don't mean like Orioles this season. I mean last season where like they showed like an actual
sure. Okay, yeah, sure.
Life for the first time, which is now two seasons ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It all comes down to Javier Baez. And I don't think there's more astrologically based player than I don't think any player is more afflicted by this by the whiff of cosmic fate than Javi Baez.
That's true. Yeah.
Maybe the stars will shine on him and he'll turn it around.
Yeah, that'd be so nice. It is a year for there's like a lot of especially in April, there's a lot of like beneficial, but also like there's a lot of stuff happening at the end of April that's basically like the way that things have been approaching. You're either going to break right or left. You're either going to get really bad or really good, depending
okay.
on who you are and when you were born. So you're going to see a lot of, I think that
you can't get much worse. Yeah.
Yeah. Sort of towards the end of the first month of baseball, you're going to start seeing like how the season's going to shape up. And maybe at that point in time, I'll actually like turn on a Tigers game or two. And I really want to. So that would be nice.
Yeah. We'll keep you.
Absolutely.
We'll keep you up to date on how they're doing.
Yes. Please keep me apprised of if that spark actually happens sometime around April 20th.
April 20th. Mark it on your calendars. Pick up Javi Baez in fantasy leagues on April 20. Because right now, I guarantee he's available. He's got a negative 65 WRC plus in spring training. He'll be on the waiver wire. I guarantee it.
By the way, I was late to my fantasy draft because I couldn't figure out how the fuck to log into Yahoo. And so I auto drafted my first like three picks or whatever. But
I don't think that's that bad. The easiest draft. Picks to those are the most AK ones to just get the first guy.
Yeah,
I have Spencer Strider.
Yeah,
and
fine.
Honestly, I have my brain rot is so powerful that if I were actually drafting, I wouldn't have picked him because I don't like the brain. I'd have picked like some other guy at the top up there.
The robot made you eat your vegetables and
yeah,
just take the best player available.
I have two Braves and the auto drafter drafted me two Braves and a Met, and I got there and I'm like, what are we doing?
He's like, no, this is a tragedy. I'm a Philly guy. I can't have these Mets and Braves.
I'm sorry, every time you break the Philly accent out, I lose it.
Jane has one impression from that drives each of us specifically insane.
Yeah. That for Steven and then Rami Malek on the Pacific for Lauren. I'm still I can't that one. I have to be in the right mood for it though.
Yeah, you have to go method for it. Yeah,
Yeah,
no,
for
we're clear
sure.
into it.
There's also where we got Joey Votto perfectly recreating the sad Keanu meme, and then like a few days later, finally got a deal. He is a what is he like a minor league roster invite or what with the Jays?
Yeah, to spring training. Yeah.
Yeah. God, I hope
It's
he
a...
makes it. That would be so cool. All the fucking Blue Jays fans I know are so thrilled to have him on that team, and like that'd be
Oh yeah.
cool. Give him like a nice
Everyone's
send
absolutely
off.
thrilled. He's actually making his debut today in the Grapefruit League. If you want to watch his first at bats as well, obviously this episode will probably air after. But yeah, the three of us, if we want to watch the four of us, if we want to watch. His first at bats is at the J. Today's the day. It's against the Phillies
Nice.
too. So Steven, you'll get to watch it either way,
Oh, there you go.
probably. I might watch my first spring training game today. I have just not cared at all about spring training. It's really
Spring
bad.
training doesn't matter. Yeah, it's fun. I enjoy it. I enjoy it especially that it's like a big. I like the Cactus League a lot conceptually, but it does not matter at all
Word.
to us as fans. It matters a lot to players, obviously.
Yeah, it's good when you're there.
Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly.
It's something really fun to do. Like, I can always tell when it's spring training season because I'll text my mom something and she'll reply, "Can't see screen at Cactus game." Like,
it is the most beautiful season of in Phoenix all year round. Insane
it
how gorgeous
really
the
is
weather is
perfect.
at the Cactus League.
St. Patrick's Day, my parents always go to a Cubs game. They have like 40 people that go to Shea Stadium. Or wait, is that what
That's a
it's
sweet
called?
tradition.
Yeah.
Yeah, mini, yeah, the mini Shea Stadium. Yeah. I don't know if you have the weird like shrine to Wrigley they built, like literally has like an ivy wall. It's like just a smaller version of it.
That's
It's
funny.
That's
Of Wrigley.
cute. It's
I like
adorable.
that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it.
They
Okay.
including the piss troughs. No, I made that up.
Yeah,
I'll get
it's the
Yeah,
same
the piss trough.
piss troughs, yeah. When they remodeled Wrigley, they moved those piss troughs across the country.
Those are heritage piss troughs. We've
That's
had a
so
lot of
nice.
cellar doors on this episode, I think, and yeah, for this one. I think we should wrap it up there, though. Melly, thank you so much for coming back.
Oh, thanks for having me on. This
Yeah.
was really fun. I always love coming on here.
Anything you want to plug?
No, my friend Maria Schumann has a podcast about her family history. It's called Bread and Salt, and you can find it on Substack. Yeah. So that's kind of the only thing that I've got. I'm helping her with it. That's kind of it.
Cool. I'm proud of us for doing a full episode, not like at any point devolving and talking about recipes or cooking that we're doing.
Yeah,
Listen,
you did it.
there was nothing about food that really came up.
That's very unusual for
Yeah.
this podcast.
Well, it was
It's fine.
intentional.
I'm
We
gonna
had to stay
workshop
on
my
topic.
I'll workshop my ideas for a sauce garbage with you via text later. We don't need to bring that up now.
A friend of mine just let me know that he's making gumbo with a picture of a big bowl of carrots, and I
Huh.
need to discuss that with you after we're done wrapping up here.
Fascinating.
All right, we'll end the show here because these two are dying to talk about the carrot gumbo. All right, have a good one, everyone. Bye.
It's fucked up. It's